What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from the Disc Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about the brand new Marvel mobile game that just launched, Marvel Battlelines, which is like a sort of turn-based, card-based mobile game. It's been in sort of soft launch for months, but finally has now launched on mobile, on iOS and Android. But before we do that, if you haven't already done so, remember to hit that subscribe button on YouTube, or you can subscribe as well on the podcast services. So I finally got to play this, because I know it was out on soft launch and you played it before, so I'll probably kick off. It's going to be quite a nice kind of experience, very well done, very comic based. I like the kind of the way that they did that with all the comic book stuff that they had in there. Generally, I thought that was good. It's quite a complicated game to learn off the bat, because they're throwing so much at you and they're trying to go through this tutorial, and it's a little bit like, stop. I hate it when games are throwing too much at you, and it's screen after screen after screen, and we're trying to set up the story, and we're it's like, oh, we'll do this mission, and you move once. Oh, now you've won. It's like, could you not just let me in and, like, I don't know. It's like a weird thing with tuition, or these like tutorials of like trying to get you to learn how to play the game, but at the same time holding your hand so much is so frustrating that you can't do anything. It was like, just can you just let me have a bit of a go here and maybe just make it really easy kind of thing.
Yeah, and it was actually doubly frustrating for me, because as you said, I had played it in the soft launch. So when I picked it up here, I only played it for like 3 days in the soft launch before I was, no, I'm done with this. So my account still exists, and when I loaded it up, I already had my account, which had gone through the tutorial already. Yeah. And so I'm sitting here going, I need to do this mission. I don't remember how to do any of this at all. I remember that you need to get them into lines or diagonals. And that was all I remember. But I was like, is this character powerful? I don't have a clue. Is this character powerful? I don't know. What am I supposed to be doing on this? What are those little piles of dust? Let me do that. Oh, that's a good thing. And so we had kind of opposite experiences on that. But at the same time, it was like, I do remember doing the tutorial, and it was way too handhold. And it's not even that it's like handhold and it's taking its time and it's going slowly. A lot of the times it doesn't explain why you want to do something. It's like, all right, put your guy right here and look, it does this thing. I'm like, cool. How do I replicate that on my own? What did you do that caused that to happen? I know you put the guy there, but what was with everybody else's setup that made that happen? Yeah. And yeah, absolutely atrocious tutorial. But once you get started, it's not bad, but it's kind of blah.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's kind of funny. Like I said, I've said this before about game. I think because if you'd said this to me 6 months ago, I'd have just pooped all over this, because I hate turn-based mobile games. As some people might be aware, I have started playing real tabletop games each week. So I now have gone and played things like Star Wars Destiny in real life, where you actually have the cards and you roll the dice and you play it like that. So I think because of that, I've come in, my mind is slightly twisted to the fact of, I understand these games a little bit more now, because they're just mobile versions of tabletop games. Whereas I think I was always looking at them like a video game, where it was like, I just want to play myself. I don't need this kind of, you know, you hit me, now I hit you. Now it's like, okay, it's a tabletop game, and we've just flipped it digitally. So I probably have a little bit more tolerance for it now. You know, the whole thing of like, you build your deck and you want to have your powerful ones, but you can only play so, you know, the big powerful cards, you have to have a certain limit. You can't use all your big powerful ones straight off the bat. You need the cheap ones with no. So I kind of understood all of that. The thing of like doing like the noughts and crosses system of, you know, building up your lines, that's a nice twist of having somewhere to put it. So it was all right. I mean, the art style kind of reminded me a bit of Marvel Puzzle Quest. Kind of, I do think they're very smart to go with the comic book versions rather than the movies. I think that's got much more legs in it, and it means they're a lot time restricted, and they can kind of jump in and out a lot easier.
Yeah, I think it's better to go with the comics. Also, it's going to be more familiar to most people. And honestly, it doesn't really matter that much. Just as long as people can recognize the name, they're willing to accept, you know, different costumes, different pictures. Like Night Nurse in here is completely different from Night Nurse in the Netflix series. But That's okay. I mean, it doesn't matter all that much. Plus, you're not really going to use her because her character card's kind of awful. But, you know, it's all the characters, and it's mostly just about promoting name recognition rather than worrying about any particular version of it.
Again, I still feel like Marvel have done a... I feel Marvel are just... The Marvel Games division are just on fire in terms of what they have, how they are, how they've managed their portfolio of offering, you know, because this game, it feels very different to the other Marvel games out there. You know, Marvel Contest of Champions, Marvel Future Fight, Marvel Puzzle Quest, Marvel Avengers Academy. You know, they are all a very different style of game. And this one has that card element, and it is different, and it is more about picking your cards. And I don't know, it's nice that they've sort of spread this out a little bit. They've kind of worked out a way of doing it. It's definitely going to be, I think this is going to be a mainstay for a few years. Depends if the people connect to it. It's literally, like I said, only just launched, had quite a big launch. They've been doing it, going to conventions and kind of getting the word. It's always been a weird thing because they've kept like tweeting about new characters and new this, and it's like, at one point, I remember going, is this game actually out yet? Or did I forget? And it's like, no, they've been announcing like all these stuff they've been adding to the soft launch like it was live. And it was a little bit like, and then finally it's actually gone out. So that's definitely a good thing. But there was a little bit of, I feel like they were a little bit too soft in their launch, and it kind of was a little bit confusing.
I would agree with that. I think it took a little too long getting out, but it is out now. And if you did play in the soft launch, you do get to keep your stuff. So that might be a good thing. That might be a bad thing. The game doesn't seem to be too heavily PvP oriented. I mean, it is there, obviously, but unlike games like Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes or Marvel Strike Force or whatever, it doesn't seem to be a huge focus of it. It is something that you want to do, but it's not going to be like one of the make or break features. So I think them not resetting things for the people who had the soft launch isn't too horribly bad of a thing. But at the same time, if you are a competitive PvP player and you play these games primarily for PvP, if you didn't play in the soft launch, you are at a disadvantage and you're going to have to drop some serious cash to catch up.
Well, that was the thing I was going to say about like the microtransaction thing of like just going through the campaign version. I'm not feeling under any pressure for the microtransactions at the minute because kind of at the right level to where I'm supposed to be. But even that, it's like, you can see like, oh, I need, you know, like playing against a character a few times and losing. It's like, oh, I need something. I need a better boost or I need a better character. And so obviously they want to pay for it. Now, as you said, the microtransactions are going to be interesting to see where they go with it. The thing is with these kind of collectible card games, they are based on microtransactions from really as far back as you can remember, way before they were even a thing. It was just called, you had to buy booster packs and, you know, you got swapsies and you traded them and, you know, that you brought that whole pack of this thing to get the one card that was really powerful. This is nothing, you know, all tabletop games. This is what the whole business is based on. So it kind of feels a little bit like, yeah, microtransactions are a problem, but that's no different than how they are in real life. That's kind of just how the game is. It always has been.
Yeah, I mean, it takes, depending on your point of view, either the best or the worst of both card games and video games. So, I don't know. It's a reasonable facsimile of a card game, though, and the way you acquire cards. There are ways of acquiring them directly, but yeah, you're mostly going to be going kind of little RNG.
Yeah. It's just one of those things of, you know, I know all the X's, oh, that's come out, I need the card. And so therefore you buy it. It's just one of those things with these kind of card games. Obviously with mobile game, so it changes it. It's got microtransactions. It's going to influence you to try to buy stuff. It's up to you, your choice if you do so, or set yourself a budget or something like that. It's just, I feel like now with mobile games, it's like, we're 5+ years into mobile games. Microtransactions ain't going anywhere in mobile games. This is what's paying for it. You know, we can't pay £20 for this game and just be done with it. It's there, and we've just worn me down. I think that could be just a way with microtransactions.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now. I've got it up on my phone right there. There's the store, and it's one of those things where sometimes, I don't know how well you guys can see this or not, but you can see, you know, you can buy these characters individually, but what they really want you to do is to buy that $5 or the $10 pack, which is completely randomized, which is annoying. So,
yeah, there's nothing worse than randomization in terms of buying bits and pieces, because you don't know if that, like you say, buy the superpowered card for $2.99 or buy a blind bag for $5. It's like, yeah, I would much rather just pay, but you know what they're like. You know what they want to do with it, and that's just the big problem with it. And I just logged in, and it's like, oh, it wants a download. It's like, nope, don't.
Well, that's all right. Let's talk about that very briefly. Yeah. Because every single time I started up this game since the launch, since the proper launch, I've had to download something. Yeah. There have always been a patch. I don't know what it's downloading. I don't know if they're bug fixes or they're adding stuff or what. It is downloaded every single time I've turned it on. And on top of that, at least for the first 2 or 3 days, I had massive network problems with this game. Like, I would get disconnected constantly. There were all sorts of like, oh, that battle you just did didn't count at all because we didn't transmit the data properly. That does seem to have mostly been fixed now. But when I just turned it on, like you, I had a download. So hopefully that's a temporary thing, though.
Yeah, because this is not so good. It's fine, I'm on Wi-Fi now, but if I'm out on the road, I know if I'm out at a shop or I'm standing in a queue at the post office, I don't want downloads. You know, it's not, especially when you're on data and stuff. That's just not good.
Yeah. So on top of that, when you first download it, you know, you've got your standard app download from whatever store you're picking up from. I don't know about iPhone, but on Android, not even counting the patches that I've had to download, I think I had an 800 meg download.
Yeah.
The first time I started up, that was on top of already downloading it from the Play Store. So yeah,
I really find it annoying when they put these, like, they put them on the Play, on these stores, and they put the app in, and it's like they're trying to make the app as small as possible on the Play, on the App Store, to make it look, because people are obviously going, I've only got so much space, I'll have that. And then it's almost like, you know, they're lying to you, because, oh, it was actually a 2 gig requirement for this thing, you know, but we're making it look like it's 80 gigs or 80 megabytes. And it's like, if you need an 800 gig or 800 megabyte download to get past like level 3, make it the whole thing, do it from day 1, stop lying. It's like, I just find it really annoying when you get basically barely past the tutorial and it wants you to download basically the game, because it's like, I know what they're doing, they're trying to make that app install, because if it's take too long, people will just uninstall it. But it does feel a bit like sneaky to do that.
I'm also trying to figure out exactly what the heck they were using 800 megs of data for. This is not a graphically intense game. Yeah. There's almost no animation other than the cards literally like hitting each other or explosions on the battlefield whenever you create a line or something like that. This is not something on par with like Future Fight with full character animations for every single attack and whatnot. So I don't know what the heck is taking up so much space on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just loving a look here now. Yeah, my game looking at here is now 788 megabytes. Magic Kingdoms is a gig. Champions of the Contest of Champions is about a gig as well. But nearly 800 megabytes for what essentially a very small little game does seem a lot.
Yeah, and at least for, you know, Disney Magic Kingdom and Concert Champion, you can kind of understand why they're that big. You've got fully fully animated, that's the word I'm looking for, characters in both of those. That, you know, all the characters wandering around the park in Disney Magic Kingdom, all of the characters that you fight with in Contest of Champions, they've all got their own animations, textures, you know, skeleton works and all that stuff. I have no idea what they're using it for here. I mean, unless they're asset art is just massive, I don't know what they're using it. So
yeah, I mean, the good thing for me personally is having just upgraded my phone and I now have a nice big screen, so it's a lot easier to see it. I have now a 64 gig hard drive. I can put a few games on it. My last iPhone was like a 16 gig. I couldn't have games on it because they were getting too big, and that's the problem. And unfortunately, like, yeah, now I'm in a situation where I can put a few games on there. But I mean, I'm going to mess about with this one for a bit. I'm going to see how it goes because it's the newest kid on the block. And it's kind of it feels a little bit more like a proper, like a mobile game that you can play, because you can just drop in, do a match, and drop back out again, which seems to suit. But we'll see how it goes. But we'd love to know what you guys think of Marvel Battle Lines in the comments below, or get in touch with us on social media. Go check us out over at DizKingdom.com to keep up with the latest Marvel news. James, where can they find you?
You find me at HeroicLegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.